could actually be quite a good vintage. You know, I just wonder if we actually open our eyes and try to think about what it means, whether we can somehow help it work rather than always knocking it. Now, we can hear the rhetoric of government, you know, from Francis Moore talking about big opportunities for voluntary organisations coming down the track. William would say that, wouldn't he? You know, David Cameron talking about how community groups will be able to run post offices and libraries and transport services and that sort of thing. And I love David Cameron's saying that it's a big advance for people power. And I think all of that is rhetoric, and we all know that. However, there was an absolutely outstanding, in my view, article by a journalist called Philip Blond in The Independent just a couple of weeks ago. And he really, if I can just read out one or two sentences from that article, because they really encapsulate where I think this might be. And his article starts off by saying, "The big society has nothing to do with cuts. If Britain is still in the la-la land of finance, leverage-driven growth, and asset bubble inflation, the big society would be, in part, its necessary corrective action." He then goes on to say, "The drive to open up public procurement to charities and social enterprises will further assist the promotion of bottom-up prosperity." And it just hit a few buttons for me. However, there is no doubt, and Dame Elizabeth Hoodless, who retired at the Community Service Volunteers very recently, she said that the cuts are destroying volunteering and undermining the government's big society vision. And I think she's quite right. You know, in the last couple of weeks especially, I've been talking to people about their views on the big society, and it's just the government's way of getting around the cuts. And they may well be right, but I still think that in the big picture, it could be very interesting. How could that impact charities, and how does that impact the technology world? Well, there's a great example around that has been done in one local authority, where actually the biggest request that the citizens have of the local authority is the simple, "Where is the nearest?" inquiry. That seems to be what, you know, statistically, that seems to be the question that's asked. And actually what they've done is they, through a website, enabled citizens to put marks on their website to show where the nearest chemist is and where the nearest this is and that is, so that they can actually go to it. So it's almost like a sort of self-empowerment, like a Wikipedia type environment that do that. And they've had 25% reduction of calls since that was implemented only a few months ago, which is quite interesting. On that, not 25% across the board, but 25% on that, where is the nearest. And I think that's quite interesting, because that may well develop into something that creates a lot of interest. So, I mean, that's just a concept around empowerment, that people could do things themselves. And I think if any of you have followed Wikipedia, it is really interesting how effective that has become. I hate it when I see, you know, occasionally I'll be marking stuff for various things, and people will put the definition coming from Wikipedia, which is interesting. I'm not sure, maybe that's just because I'm old, but I'm not sure I totally approve of that. Okay, let's just look at some of the case studies that I picked up. But I think a lot of these case studies are around cost savings, because those are the ones that have been done traditionally in the past. But what I want to do is try to get you to think about value generation rather than just cost saving. So let's just run through some of these.